Amen. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, Grace Point. From wherever you are, whenever you're seeing this, however that's working, we trust and know that the Spirit is present with you. And we hope that you feel that this morning. It's good to be back with you. It's always good to be here at Grace Point. And it's good to look and study God's word together, which is what we get to do in this time. This morning, we're going to turn our attention to the largest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms written by all sorts of different authors. We often accredit a lot to King David and Solomon, but there are many others as well. We use Psalms frequently in our worship, but oftentimes we just use them in little pieces and kind of float past them. But the book of Psalms has proven relevant throughout the ages and has stood the test of time and remains relevant for us today, and I think has something to say to us in our current time and situation. This book, I love this book so much. It speaks to our human experiences in profound ways. It speaks genuinely of the emotions that we have and the struggles that we have and the thoughts that we have and the experiences of life that we have. This book tells the story of God's people working out their faith. What is it to love God? How do I faithfully love him? What happens when I fail and stumble and fall? And it tells the story of them sorting out what God is up to. God, where are you? What are you about? What is happening now? Reveal yourself. So this book of Psalms we're beginning to see, and we'll see more clearly, is full of ups and downs, right? Similarly to the ups and downs that we experience in our life. And because of these genuine emotions and because of these journeys, the book of Psalms validates our human experience. And it validates our human emotions. And it validates our relationship with God, which is really cool. So I'm going to be here the next 3 out of 4 Sundays with you, and we're going to spend those 3 Sundays journeying through the Psalms. Walter Brueggemann, a beloved theologian, has this idea and this theory that there are 3 phases, 3 cycles in the book of Psalms, that 1/3 about of all of the Psalms fall in one of these 3 cycles. Orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. And that these cycles represent our experience and our relationship and our lives with God. And so today we are going to think about these Psalms of orientation. These Psalms in which our attention is turned squarely and directly on God. And we're going to look at a few psalms that represent this pretty clearly, that explore orientation, as we also ask about our own faith journeys and exploring it. Mike is going to read Psalm 8. You can turn to it if you have your Bible in front of you. You can click open Bible Gateway on your whatever device you're watching and follow along as Micah reads Psalm 8.
O Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider you heavens, your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen. This psalm is kind of broken into 3 categories. which also echo the three elements that Psalms of orientation often have. They often have this element of speaking about God's greatness in these celebratory, unreserved ways with excitement and with assurance of who God is and what his character is about. These are big and bold praises being offered in these Psalms. The second element is that it explores the relationship of God to what he has created, including humans, and it knows the right and proper place for these relationships. And so people know where they stand, and they stand in awe that God has claimed them and has concerned himself with them, and they also praise him for this, for placing worth and value in them. And the third element that Psalms of orientation often include is that they speak of God as creator and they speak of his creation. This psalm speaks of humans and stars and animals and seas, all of these things that God created. And it reminds us that God reveals himself in his created order as well. We're going to read one other Psalm of orientation as we continue to explore what this means for us and how we can relate to these Psalms. But before we read it, I want you to think to yourself and ask yourself as you're hearing it, have I felt this way? When have I felt this way? Or have I had these thoughts before as well? So we're going to read Psalm 145.
I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you, and they will tell of the glory of your kingdom. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at their proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in the praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Thanks, Micah. As you hear that, can you begin to see the posture of gratitude that exists within these Psalms? This posture of gratitude for the care that God has and for his deeds and for how his work. And can you begin to pick out and see how in these Psalms there's a clear order of things, right? Life is ordered and it's sensical and it's a picture of how things are supposed to be, what we long for knowing our place and knowing what God is about. It's a life that is full of blessing and recognizing those blessings and claiming those blessings and giving credit to God for those blessings. These Psalms of orientation lift up God and they celebrate him. They are full of worship and wonder. And you can get a picture of whoever wrote these Psalms, it's as if they were seeing things clearly, right? And could recognize the beauty like a beautiful, great spring day where all is shining and shimmering and makes sense. And the final characteristic is that the authors and the writers, and as we hear this, we're humbled by God's love for us. in creating and claiming us, there's a posture of humility within these psalms. If I were to summarize the characteristic of these psalms, I would summarize it as these mountaintop moments, right? Where we feel close to God, where we look out and we can see clearly. I know for me, one of these mountaintop moments or a reoccurring mountaintop moment for me was summer camp growing up, right? Like when I was in high school, in my first summer camp, I was new to faith and just beginning to explore it for myself. And I remember like in the middle of the week, just like being overcome by God's goodness and like, oh my gosh, there you are. How did I miss you? How couldn't I have seen you? And being so excited about who God was and the fact that I could have a relationship with him, right? I work as the director of campus ministry at the University of Dubuque, and one of my privileges is to see these moments of orientation in the lives of students as well. I think of a moment with Will, actually, a couple years ago, who led us in worship this morning, where he renewed his baptismal vows. And it was a day where it was just so clear that Will was connected to God. And being able to see Will connected to God connected me to God. And we got to praise him in that moment and in that day. Mary, the mother of Jesus, after the angel comes to her and tells her she will conceive Christ, goes and shares this news with her cousin Elizabeth. And after she shares it, there's this beautiful song of praise that she gives. This is her moment of orientation, saying, an angel has spoken to me and I know the will of God for my life in this moment. Now, these are some big, pretty big mountaintop moments, right? Orientation also comes in small moments. In the moments of seeing a flower growing in your garden and marveling at its beauty. Or having a long overdue belly laugh with somebody. A good conversation with a friend over a cup of coffee or over Zoom. Walks, right? These moments of orientation can happen for days, they can happen for seconds, but they're real and we begin to cycle through it and we experience them. And what they do when we say, oh, there you are, God, that's what you're up to, is they compel us to praise. So I'm wondering, as you hear these psalms and you hear from God this morning, what are you being compelled to praise God for? What is he beginning to stir in your heart? Because my hope for today is that as we walk away, as we log off, that we recognize these moments more frequently. That we're able to name these moments of beauty and clarity as moments of orientation, and that we, along with the psalmist, give credit to God for them. But, because there's always a but, right? We would be remiss to think that all of life stands in this category of orientation, right? There are a lot of good things about life, but there are also a lot of hard moments and fears and worries and doubts and resisting of the work of God. And that is what we're going to talk about next week in disorientation. So we're not neglecting those aspects of our lives. But for today and for this week, we get to rest in orientation. And we get to sit there in a posture of praise for God and ask ourselves, what can I be praising God for? God, where are you and what are you up to right now? I have a challenge for you this week and throughout this series. And my challenge for you is to look at Psalm 8 or look at Psalm 145. We're going to close in prayer with Psalm 33. And I want you to write your own Psalm of orientation. You can model it after one of these Psalms, but as you're asking, what can I praise God for? Consider writing a Psalm of orientation and praise, whether you feel it or not. This has been a helpful practice for me in this season that has felt more disorienting than oriented, is to remember that God is still good and to remember that I have been in that place of orientation and I will return there again. So we can write these psalms of praise regardless. So I challenge you to do that this week. We're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to read just the last few verses of Psalm 33 as we pray together. We wait in hope for you, Lord. You are our help and our shield. In you our hearts rejoice, for we trust in your holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen.